Hear these words from Isaiah chapter 6. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne, high and lofty, and the hem of his robe filled the temple. Seraphs were in attendance above him. Each had six wings. With two they covered their faces, and with two they covered their feet, and with two they flew. And one called to another and said, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory." The pivots on the threshold shook at the voices of those who called, and the house filled with smoke. And I said, "Woe is me. I am lost, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips. Yet my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." Then one of the seraphs flew to me, holding a live coal that had been taken from the altar with a pair of tongs. The seraph touched my mouth with it and said, "Now that this has touched your lips, your guilt has departed and your sin is blotted out." Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, "Whom shall I send, and who will go for us?" And I said, "Here I am, send me." This is the word of God for us, the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
God, as we come to this time of reflecting on your word, I pray that the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts will be pleasing to you. In Jesus' name, amen. You can be seated. It's nice being in the second service after the reception where there are a lot of faces that I recognize now. One of those faces that I hope that you will get to know well is my wife. I'm going to ask her to stand so you can know who she is and get to know her. You've already met my daughter. Do we have any 16-year-olds in the room? Anybody 16? Be bold, raise your hand. I'm not going to make you do anything. We got one over here. We got one over here. Okay, so all right. Anybody else has been 16 before? A lot of people. Okay. Some of you remember what that's like. I want to tell you a story this morning about a 16-year-old. This wasn't just any 16-year-old. This boy was the son of a king. And his father, the king, died. And so the people, the leaders in the kingdom, took this 16-year-old boy and they made him king at 16 years of age. But he went on to do incredible things. He rebuilt cities, restored cities, built towers. He went to war and won. He had huge armies, huge herds, lots of farmland. And he was famous throughout the world. He was a good king. Now, all good kings have to have a nemesis. This good king had a nemesis. And this nemesis was always trying to come in and conquer him and his kingdom. But the people of his kingdom knew that as long as this good king was on the throne, they were fine. As long as this good king was there, they had hope. This good king reigned for 52 years. He met a really unfortunate end, and you can read about that in 2 Chronicles 26. But our scripture this morning picks up where that end happens, because that good king's name was Uzziah. And chapter 6 of Isaiah says, "In the year that King Uzziah died." And so I want you to allow yourself to think about how the people in the kingdom are feeling at this point. The king that had reigned for 52 years was gone. The king that had been holding the Assyrians at bay was no longer there to protect them. This was the year that King Uzziah died, that the throne was now empty. In Isaiah, a lot of the first five chapters are filled with poetic sayings that Isaiah is getting from the Lord and portraying to the people. But it's all done in the second person. In chapter 6, there's a shift where Isaiah is speaking in the first person, and he's telling a story. And so I want to invite you to allow yourself to experience what Isaiah experiences. When he's telling this story in the first person, it allows us to think about what is he seeing? What is he hearing? What is he feeling? What is he smelling? What is he touching? And what is he tasting? All of those things come into play at some point or another in these short 8 verses. So allow yourself to experience this story in the year that King Uzziah died. He says that, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne. Now, it's a pretty powerful thing to see the Lord in general. But the most powerful place for Isaiah to be able to see the Lord, especially when the king just died, is sitting on a throne. This isn't just any king sitting on the throne. The Lord is described as high and lofty, up on a big throne. And the hem of his robe was filling the temple. Now, I have a hard time imagining a robe with a hem that fills the temple. But in this day, the robe of a king, and specifically the hem of that robe, signifies the majesty of the king. And this king had a big robe. It filled the temple. And he wasn't by himself. There were seraphs, or some sort of angel, were in attendance above him. And they had 6 wings. This is a little strange. With 2 wings, they were covering their face as if they didn't want to see something, as if they weren't allowed to look upon something. And then with 2 of their wings, they were covering their feet, or lower regions, as if they didn't want to be seen by something. And then with 2, they flew around the Lord. And Isaiah finds himself in this temple, and he sees all of this. And then he hears a voice, multiple voices, as one of these angels called to another and said, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory." Not just the temple. The temple isn't just full of his glory. The whole earth is full of his glory. And Isaiah hears this. This is not a king like any other king. The word holy we often use to mean like righteous or pure. But it also means a little more than that. It means set apart or different. This king on the throne is holy. Yes, pure, yes, righteous, but different. Different than any king Isaiah has ever seen. See, in the moment that Uzziah died, Isaiah is given this vision of the Lord on the throne. In the moment when the person that Israel was putting their hope in died, they were given a new vision of a new king. In the moment when the king they had put their hope in was gone, they were given a vision of a new king. And the good news for us in this is that when we find ourselves getting let down by putting our hope in things of this earth, when they fail us, we can be given a vision of a new king. The Lord on the throne. And so Isaiah finds himself in this temple and hears these angels calling out, "Holy, holy, holy." Their voices were so loud that the temple was shaking, the pivots on the threshold shook, and the house was filled with smoke. Allow yourself to think about the smell of smoke filling this place and the temple shaking. And I imagine that in that moment, Isaiah thinks to himself, "I don't belong here. I do not belong in this place with this holy king." Because his response is, "Woe is me. I am lost, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips." The holiness of the Lord illuminates the unholiness of Isaiah. When Isaiah comes into the temple, the Lord sitting on the throne is so holy. It's a contrast when Isaiah looks at himself. And Isaiah says, "Woe is me." He knows he's in a dangerous position because he does not belong there. He is not a being or a creature that is fit to be in the presence of this holy king. I'm going to say that again. He is not a being or a creature that is fit to be in the presence of this holy king. And he knows that and says, "Woe is me." And he locates his sinfulness in his lips and says, "I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips. Yet my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." Then one of the seraphs flew to him. And I imagine the fear is building in Isaiah. And it has a live coal that it's taken from the altar. Specifically says, with a pair of tongs. It's too hot for the angel himself to be holding. He's got to use tongs. And he touches Isaiah's lips. That probably does not feel good. Allow yourself to think about what that would feel like, what that would taste like, what that might smell like. Isaiah is having his sin burned out by God. Now, I had a professor in my last semester of seminary, Dr. Meadows, and he, at the beginning of our semesters of theology class, he said, "The danger of doing theology, or the study of God, is talking about God as if he was not in the room." That the danger of studying God is talking about God as if he was not in the room. And that stuck with me all semester. I thought that was really important. That we shouldn't just talk about God as an abstract idea, but as a being that is present with us. Isaiah was in the temple with the Lord. And I believe that each Sunday as we gather here in this place, that we are coming into the presence of the Lord that sits on the throne. And perhaps, sometimes when we do that, we should be saying, "Woe is me." Because Isaiah was not a being fit to be in the presence of God. But here's the good news. When the angel took this live coal and touched his lips, he changed something. It changed something in Isaiah. And it made him, it formed him into a being that could be in the Lord's presence. And so as we come together in worship, I'm excited to be a part of your worship. And as we do that, I believe that in each part of our worship service, our God is forming us into beings who are fit for his presence. That as we come together for worship, God wants to form us in these moments into beings who can experience his presence. And that's what happens to Isaiah here in chapter 6. After the seraph touches his mouth, he says, "Now that this has touched your lips, your guilt has departed and your sin is blotted out." We too have someone who can blot out our sin. By the blood of Jesus Christ, our sin can be blotted out. And we can be formed into beings fit for his presence. That is good news. Then Isaiah hears a voice that he has not heard yet in this story. And I submit to you, it's because he was not able to hear it yet. But now that he is a being that is fit for God's presence, he is able to hear another voice. Verse 8, "Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, 'Whom shall I send and who will go for us?' And I said, 'Here am I, send me.'" So once Isaiah had experienced this saving grace, this live coal taking away his sin, he could hear God speak to him and couldn't help but say, "Here am I, send me." I want to take just a moment to share another story with you. This is often called Isaiah's call story, when he was called by God to be a prophet. And I figured on my first Sunday here, it would be fitting for me to share with you what I call my call story. When I was a senior in high school, when I was 17 years old, I went to a camp called YDR, Youth Discipleship Retreat. And that week at camp, I had a really bad attitude. Youth in the room, you never go to youth events with bad attitudes, do you? No? Good. Okay, that was just me. I went to camp that week with a really bad attitude. I said, I don't really want to be here. And the speaker the first night said, "God brought you here for a reason, and he wants to speak to you this week." And 17-year-old Jeremy said, "Nah, I'm just here to have fun." And then on the Friday night of that camp, stubbornness finally wore off, probably due to exhaustion from a week at camp. And I heard the voice of the Lord speak to me. And God said, "Jeremy, I want you to serve me in ministry." Now, since then, I've had a lot of clarification of what that means in my life. Because I fully believe that each and every one of us is called to ministry. But in that moment, I experienced the presence of God in a way that I hadn't before. And as was happening before that and has happened since that, God has been forming me into a being that is fit for his presence. And it's still a work in progress. But I am really excited to continue that process with you. That as we come together into God's presence, he will burn out our sin. That he will cover us with the blood of Jesus. And make us into beings that are fit for his presence. Let's pray. God, we thank you that we can come here. God, we thank you for this time. God, I praise you for the ways that you have been working in my life to clarify my call and to guide me and direct me in these past months. And God, I thank you for Georgetown First. I thank you for a new home. I thank you for a new community for me and my family. God, may you be glorified in everything that we do together. And Holy Spirit, come and lead us to Jesus. And Jesus, bring us to the Father. And Father, send your Spirit. Amen.